AD2GDQ. AD2GDQ. This is KC2PET.
KC2NVM. Good morning, Ross.
KC2NVM. KC2PET. Good morning, Jeff. Happy Friday.
Very exciting. Today's Friday. I have an instructor coming in from Ohio today for shotgun Saturday and Sunday at the gun club. So we'll probably take him out to dinner tonight, a small group of us, and then we play with shotguns for the next 2 days. It'll be glorious.
Yeah, it does sound interesting. You were saying that over at Travis's desk the other day. It does sound interesting. I wouldn't mind see what that would all involve, but yeah, sounds very cool.
So I'm already kind of checked out for today. I'll be going through the motions, getting my stuff done so I can get out as quick as possible. Although it still takes 8 hours, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. At the end of my day, usually something pops up, being the manager. I try to do that, get everything all set. Yep, I'm ready to leave in about an hour, and then something else comes up, and then end up staying in an extra hour, which I hate that, but I guess it comes part of the job, I guess. You got to do it.
One thing I don't miss about being a supervisor is the last minute. Oh, by the way, here I just do my stuff, and no matter what, at 3:30 I leave.
Yeah, I do. I'm used to have those type of days, and before I became supervisor, and it's like, all right, I guess it comes with the territory. So I don't know if Brad's in there this morning. I don't know, Brad. I know Travis isn't here. I think Brad might be in. So listen up for Brad. If you're there in there, Brad, good morning.
KC2PET, this is KE2GDQ. How are you this morning? It is Friday.
Yes, good morning, Brad. It is Friday. It's a great Friday. I've got a few things planned for the weekend. One of them being, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on this, but my daughter wants to put up Christmas lights. So, which is actually not a bad idea. The fact that it's still reasonably warm out and no snow, and it may make the installation easier. So I have to see what that involves. I was thinking maybe more towards after Halloween to do that, but if she wants to do it this weekend, I'll get the lights down first. She can put them up.
You know, that's really not that bad of an idea. Like you said, there's no snow. It's going to be relatively warm this weekend. That's really not that bad of an idea.
Your daughter might actually be onto something. Your fingers aren't going to freeze. If you drop a screw or a nail, you're not going to be like, oh, where'd that go? We'll find that in the spring. And just because they're up doesn't mean you got to turn them on. You can just have them up. You know they're there. Makes it all nice and pretty.
Yep, for being a 6-year-old, she does come up with a good one every once in a while. So, yeah, so that might happen this weekend. Like I said, I'll give the lights to her, say, here you go, and then what probably end up happening, I have to straighten them out. Or she can't climb the ladder probably, really, either. Shouldn't be letting her, so I could do the stuff up above. She could do the trees and stuff. I'll let her decorate those. So, Brad, what do you got planned for the weekend? Anything exciting?
Nothing too exciting except, Sunday I'm going to go shoot trap down in Machias. But other than that, just putz around the house.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if I should jump in on the shooting thing. Jeff said he's got an instructor coming in for a shotgun. He's all excited about that. I'll let you talk there, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have an instructor from Ohio coming in for shotgun essentials. I have one class on Sunday, one class on Saturday. I'm in on Saturday in the class, but I'll be there Sunday for admin. Randy's going to be there on Saturday for admin, and he's shooting on Sunday. So we're kind of excited. I've got all my shotgun stuff piled up by the door downstairs, ready to get dropped in the car.
Yeah, Jose was talking about this. He actually sent me a video, or a link to a video, on the instructor. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the same guy that we brought to the club to teach the real-world trauma class. And we, the 10 of us that went to Ohio this year for pistol craft, he was one of the instructors we had. And we liked him so much we brought him here. And now this will be the second time we're bringing him here.
That's cool. Yeah, that sounds good. Now, this is more of a combat shotgun.
Like a defensive shotgun. We're really only concentrating on what's in the gun and maybe like a six-round side saddle, but everything will be reloaded from the side saddle. That's his philosophy.
Okay, that would explain why Jose was so worried about his side saddle on Tuesday for the shotgun he'll be using.
Yeah, I think he bought something, and he wasn't all that happy with it. It was a little flimsy, he said. But we'll see about getting him hooked up with some stuff. Make sure he has a good experience.
I've heard training, you know, when you bring what you've got, and training will show you the weaknesses of what you've got, so that you can fix it.
100%. This way we figure out what works, what doesn't work, and go from there. I hemmed and hawed about whether using a pump action or a semi-auto. I went with pump because I really like my pump, and it works, and it'll eat anything. There's too many things that can go wrong with a semi-auto.
Agreed. I like a pump. I don't have a semi-auto. I'd like to get one just because there's always room for one more.
I even have the bayonet on my shotgun just because I can.
Exactly. Just because you can. I like that.
I don't know if it's going to stay on for the class, but it's going to show up and be put in the rack with one. Sometimes I do go for the joke. That's my downfall.
Hey, it's worth having. I mean, it could come in handy in a defensive situation.
Even just stick it in the ground. Yep, there's Jeff's shotgun. We know where it's at.
Yeah, the only thing I do have a pump, but it's definitely a field gun. I don't know how that would work in this type of class.
Yeah, this class is 140 rounds of birdshot. I think 40 or 50 rounds of buckshot, and then 10 slugs.
Yeah, that's a fair amount of shooting in a couple of days. I think it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to talk to you and Jose about what you learned.
Yeah, and that's one day of shotgun. We have them here for 2 days, so we have two separate classes. So we were able to get 24 people in, I believe.
That's a good turnout.
He's even bringing a second instructor with him just to help out. Because originally it was 10, and then he's like, I'm going to bring somebody. We can go bump it up to 12, and everything will be good. And we felt it was the right number. And we're taking over the trap field. So we're not disturbing the club at all. People can still shoot on that side if they want.
Well, you guys definitely got this all thought out. And I think the student-to-instructor and ratio is good.
Yes. But as Travis always says, it is 6:45. This transmission will be my last. I have to go to work so I can get out of work so I can go. All right, 73s, everybody. We'll see you on the inside, Ross. Fred, we'll see you Tuesday. Have a good night and have a good weekend. Stay safe. KC2NVM.
All right, standing in for Jeff. Brad, I do have a BB gun. I can put some balloons off, maybe I can pop those.
Hey, BB guns work. You know, it's a place to start. Yeah, if you ever want to do any type of shooting, I'd be glad to take you to my club, and we can do some blinking of some sort, and, you know, if you ever want to.
Yeah, I might take you up on that offer someday. When life slows down a little bit, maybe. Maybe I'll jump in on that with you. My grandfather used to take me shooting. He had tons and tons of shotguns. Obviously, towards the last 10 years, he had to give it up. He had arthritis so bad in his hands, he couldn't shoot. So sadly, the gun sat down in the inn. He had a gun closet, and he locked them in there, but they sat in there for 10 years, and you can probably imagine what happened next. They rusted up, and some guys did come and get them. I don't know what happened to them after them. I don't know if they even worked after that.
Yeah, it's just sitting in a closet. If the humidity's not controlled, and they weren't oiled well, or at least occasionally, they will rust up. Sometimes it's only the outside of the barrels and the actions that are problematic. Usually the insides of the barrels tend to be good, depending on how old they were. They were chrome-plated, so they're usually in pretty good shape. But, yeah, it's too bad that that happened to them and that they disappeared on you.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think of it, actually my brother-in-law might have taken them. Yeah, I think actually because my brother-in-law hunts, but he's got his own arsenal of weapons, so he might have taken them. I think he might, you know what might have happened, I think he looked at them, and maybe, I don't think he took them, I think maybe they were too far gone, maybe, and he was like, here, go sell them off, see what you can get for them. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, they could have been too far gone. Yeah, that's unfortunate, because if your grandfather had them, so that would be, yeah, they would probably be in the 40s, maybe, that they were made. Some of those guns are getting valuable. I mean, they're not an investment that you want to say, okay, I'm going to buy this handgun, and it's going to go up, you know, 800% or anything like that. But guns tend to go up in value.
Yeah, I don't know what he had. I know he had a shotgun, and I believe he had a rifle. As far as I know, as far as models and makes, I don't know what they were. I never, like I said, we were cleaning out my grandparents' house when they all passed, and I was in charge of the gun department. I was doing actually electrical work in the house, believe it or not.
No, I can believe that. Probably taking care of outlets or switches or stuff that needed to be replaced, or yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, I believe their house was made in the 50s, 40s. Yeah, so I had to replace all the outlets because everything is still original, and the switches, some of them worked, some of them didn't. And the outlets, you could plug stuff in, and the wall adapters would just fall right out. So I tell you how, I don't even know how my grandmother vacuumed with them like that, but she didn't start a fire. But, yeah, I had to replace all the outlets, all the switches, just bring them off to date. And I had to put GFI in the kitchen and one in the bathroom, bring all that up to code.
Yeah, I've been doing that in my parents' house off and on for a couple of years. A lot of their outlets were just the two-prong. So I brought up, maybe not all of them, a large percentage of them I brought up to the three prong because they all had, the ground was there, it just wasn't hooked up to the outlet. They did have installed GFIs in the kitchen at one point. I tried to do it, and because there was weird wiring, at least for me, it wasn't straightforward enough, so they had an electrician come in to do it. I'm trying to think, they had ones in the bathroom, but I don't think I ever changed those to GFI. But, you know, we sold the house a couple years ago, so not my circus, not my monkeys.
Yeah, I've done a little work for my wife's grandmother. That house is, that's going to need, actually, I think that's going to get the wiring pulled out and restrung new wire. That's still the old room stranded, if you could believe that. The wire, that's how the conductor stranded, so I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be able to sell the house like that. I think they're going to have an electrician come in and go to tear down the walls and put the new wiring through. Yeah, they're going to have to recut that whole thing badly. I believe that's what's going to have to happen.
They have the wiring where it's still the, it's stranded?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that too. I thought everything was solid, you know, from back in the days where they had, where they started wiring houses. I thought that was solid conductor then, but I guess not. That's how old the house is. They're stranded. I had a couple of them. I kind of did my best with it, and I got pretty good. I was even thinking about putting, since they're stranded, I was thinking about putting, bait connectors on them, or connectors on them so they would accept the outlet. You know, it won't be so bad, but, yeah, their wiring is stranded. Scary enough.
Yeah, I don't ever remember seeing that in a house that I've been in, but, wow, that is old. That is old.
And I know, it was probably 10 years or so, I know they updated, I believe they had a fuse panel, if I remember right. They had, was fused, and they updated it to a breaker panel box then. And I'm surprised the electrician didn't say, hey, you should probably get all this rewired, house rewired. So I didn't know whoever did it, but they did upgrade to a breaker panel. So, yeah, I'd sell the house, though. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know about this, but there are some things that get grandfathered as long as they haven't been touched, so to speak. They leave them, but yeah. I know the electrical codes change regularly. Obviously, I've been learning more about that with studying for my general and for the technician license.
Oh, so then the test actually have electrical codes? Well, I guess they would for grounding purposes, maybe.
Right, grounding purposes. They don't talk, you know, about all the electric codes, but they do say, you know, who controls, you know, who's overseas or something like that, you know, or how does the National Electric Code affect hams, something like that. And it's all about how your station is set up, obviously, you know, making sure that everything's grounded, you have electrical protection, that you got the right wire for how many, you know, how many amps you're going to drop, stuff like that, you know, common sense, at least from our perspective, common sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I had to run grounds for when I put my tower up. Obviously, tracked Mother Nature. I don't think there's a lawyer that can handle Mother Nature, but the cell towers do pretty good. But yeah, I have actually a good, luckily my dad had it. I have number four conductor for my grounding. So I don't even know if that would even handle a lightning strike, but it's big. So I was hoping that that could take the brunt of it. I'm pretty sure if ever it took a lightning strike, I think that would fry a lot of stuff. But hopefully it would just keep it all out at the shed. Maybe they'll burn my shed down. I can get a new shed. Maybe get an actually decent garage out of it. But all right, Brad, it's that time for me to go in. So I'll say 73 to you. You have a good weekend, and I will talk with you Monday. KD2GDQ, this is KC2PT. Have a good weekend, Brad.
73 is Ross, KC2PT, this is KD2GDQ, and we're clear for today.